Sally Van Doren's new book was supposed to be out already when we booked this months ago, but it is not. Instead, we have these cards. But the title of Sally Van Doren's first collection, Sex at Noon Taxes, tells us much of what we need to know about her poetry. First, it is, of course, a palindrome, and Van Doren loves this kind of wordplay, bent puns, paradoxes, anagrams, homonyms, alliteration, puzzles, and riddles. Sex at Noon Taxes. Yep, there's plenty of sex in her poetry, too. The sex as it turns impatient, domestic, illicit, passionate, possessive, and, as with sex itself, always more than just about sex. In her sex poems, Van Doren wrestles with transcendence and its price, and throws her hat, or perhaps some other garment, into the age-old body-mind dilemma and discourse. Finally, the title poem in Sex at Noon Taxes is an ekphrastic poem, meaning it responds to a specific piece of art. That's a fancy word, isn't it? Ekphrastic? I just lost my place. Oh yes, fancy word, meaning it responds to a specific piece of art, specifically a painting by Ed Ruscha. Many of Van Doren's poems do respond to specific works of art, but on a more general level. They respond to images and imagine images and reimagine them. Her poems surprise us with unexpected metaphors, splashes of the surreal, and inevitably question how words respond to pictures or pictures respond to words as she makes these fine-tuned word pictures, which take us back to the first thing we said about Sally Van Doren's poetry, and probably her first love, language, or as she puts it herself in one poem, her, quote, distaste for common speech. And I might add, a distaste for the common speech unless it's bent back on itself or tucked between words we have to look up in the dictionary or images that make us smile. Sally Van Doren teaches creative writing in the St. Louis, Missouri public schools and curates poetry workshops for the St. Louis Poetry Center. Her poems have appeared in Barrow Street, Boulevard, Cincinnati Review, Colorado Review, Margie, Parthenon West Review, Poetry Daily, and of course, River Styx. Her first collection is the winner of the Walt Whitman Award of the Academy of American Poets and will appear, well, really soon, hopefully this month. Please welcome Sally Van Doren.
Thank you, Richard. Before I start, I thought that I would give you some other palindromes that begin with the letter S. And so you try to read them the same way forward as they read backward. One, of course, is Sex at Noon Taxes. Another one is Sex at My Gym Taxes. Sex Often, I Net Foxes. Sex Aware Era Waxes. 6, 8, 9 Taxis. Star Comedy by Democrats. Step On No Pets. And the last one, Dog Sex at Noon Taxes God. I'd like to start by reading the first poem in the book, which is also the title, and I wanted to show you, I actually brought a picture of this. I pronounce it Ed Ruscha, the artist. He made a series of mountain paintings in early 2000, and I've always loved his work because he uses words, these big stenciled letters, and he's also done a series of his paintings with the titles of palindromes. So this, I don't know if you can see that mountain there, but they also read the same forward as they do backward. Sex at Noon Taxes, after a painting of the same title by Ed Ruscha. From the ghost town's fence post, my lariat ropes your palindromic peak and hauls it to our bedroom, where the timbers arch to hold off the mountain's hooves. No avalanche turns snowfall into uncorralled horseshoes. The steeds bear us up slope. We reach the muddy cleft between maroon bells and crested butte, gnawing on caribou and warmed liver of once noble elk. I first saw that painting in the Aspen Art Museum when we were there, so it's kind of how some of the other things come. All of the poems in the book are 14 lines long, although I didn't intend them to be traditional sonnets. I went through a period of about a year where I realized that everything I wrote was 14 lines long. So I was really happy when I passed out of that. This is called Pasture. Categorize a cough, catch a calf, laugh, fart. Forget the phonics of the focal, fecal. Phrase, fashion, and diffuse. Frigid sapphire captures the fragment. We all, together, web our fingers and paint, upside down, caricatures. Have enough. Carve out one piece of the veal's heart. Red wine can cauterize any carton of haute couture. May we lather the cast? Yes. Impatient. I want it to come right away, like it did last night, when I didn't know what I needed, when I thought I was sick, when I was fed up with how much time it took for salt to turn to water. I will not name it here, but if you part your lips, I will relieve you of your share of our burden. Obligation. What extravagant commodity is sex? If I loan you principal, will you pay me interest? I take a lien on you and lick the sweat under your armpits, betting leverage will establish credit. Your mortgage sallies forth. I redeem it with coupons. Equity builds. And we stay invested, screwing till we're past due. What do I owe you once I've paid you? This one's called Castle. The sword's sheath lies on the ottoman, its blade on the floor near the master bed. Wrinkled sateen drapes the cherry frame built for a king who rules with sovereign complacence. Look, no blood stains the carpet under the knife. Fealty cowers, fastened to goose feathers. This poem first appeared in River Styx, thanks to Richard. The secret. We drove to Lesterville. His flesh smelled like onions, and when he pressed on the gas, I pressed my hand on his thigh, his stone-washed jeans warm under my fingers. Our sweat pores opened and leaked out over those hot vinyl seats. We swam in that sweet liquid, churning in our car wash, rinsing in the water we became at the edge of the lake we finally reached. The title of this next poem is a phrase taken from Rilke's Letters to a Young Poet. To become world. In the beginning, the girl told her story, although each time her words fell through her legs, a stain wet her underpants. It was uncomfortable, this intimacy between her two mouths, breeding her tongue's distaste for common speech. With a pair of tweezers, she plucked out every pubic hair and affixed them to her chin. She stroked her beard when she spoke and listened. So March 17th, as we all know, is St. Patrick's Day, and it was also my dad's birthday, and he would have been 79 today. This poem first appeared in Del Mar, which is a great old, now defunct St. Louis magazine. The poem is called Sighted. He was here then, back when I was there. You were with me, you weren't. The then being before the beginning of the unlife, the not there-ness having not yet taken hold of his hand. The trust in his estate was in its undoing, the disassembled vehicle of non-necessariness. Many mounds of here landed on his whereness. We hoard them. This is the very last poem in the book. It's called I Love Depressives. They find me in my dorm room with razor blade and pills, trembling, wanting to perform, sisters, teachers, lusting, eating, sweating, sleeping, leapers, feasters on morose morsels. They feed not on my hostess flesh, but filaments of fervor and fear. My guest list incomplete. Come, drink yourself to death with me. My nectar lures the weak, the strong, the dispossessed. Laugh when I catch you in my silo. That's my antidote. I'll grind you to a chuckle. For this next part, I'm going to read some new work. These are two poems which just appeared in Margie. We had a rough spring in our house last year, and some of these poems reflect that a little bit. This first one's called Remedy. The intolerable becomes bearable only when it stops, dead, like this. Germs expire, the body floats out of its skin. That deafening weight of illness evaporates. Eyes can hear, teeth can see, ears can chew. The associative property makes an offer to parlay, and Miss Rejuvenation accepts. Now all that's left is to sleep it off. Wrap the ace bandage around your temporal lobe and delete despair. The bottle's uncorked. Gargle with ginger and chicken stock. Drive your car off the driveway. Drive your husband to the doctor. Drive yourself to the desert where 1S is all you need to rectify your stomach's mistakes. Condone pansies, not parasites. What sucked you skinny gets flushed with the white paper. It's all so gross. Enable the erase button. As you forget, you realize that you never feel. You realize that you never want to feel. Augury. Mostly, I want to modify the contours around his concussion. to modulate the haphazard mice horning in on my soliloquy. His air guitar's cumbersome frets vibrate in my inner ear. We spar over whose head goes in the ditch first. The glint of a ruined payphone flickers in our sawdust hutch. When they offer to butter up our corroded digestive spools, we decline. We were here unwound before the square shrubs trumped us. We were here waiting, squatters in this moldering, expectant world I call Missouri. This poem I wrote this fall, and it's going to be in a future issue of Southwest Review. Metronome. I hit normal, but it turns out I'm not normal. The tuning fork doesn't quite match my lowest chord. When I play pianissimo, my oeuvre wavers. Watch out, I'm forte. I'm adagio. I'm a mezzo-soprano with no tomorrow. Is it because I'm virtuous that the audiences keep reappearing? I practice my subconscious scales each and every day. I keep time this way, tick, tock. I vary my repetitions to remind myself that I am composed. There's a recording of my latest lyric in your CD cabinet. If you download it onto your laptop, I will sing while you work, and my voice will follow you to your audition for morning. The poem I'd like to end with, I wrote last winter. It's a list poem. If I were king of the poetry world, I would eat tapeworm and not get sick. I would buy a Fendi bag. I would pose naked for the cover of Vanity Fair with the words of one of my poems covering my privates. I would stay home and write more poetry. I would be able to hold my head up high in my bathroom. I would grocery shop while always checking over my shoulder for the paparazzi. I would be invited to be on Oprah with the king of the liposuction world. I would go to a party with JF and pretend I did not know who he was. I would sneeze, and the 400,000 other poets in the world would say, God bless you. I would be commissioned to write a new innovative edition of the Bible. My dog would become a spokesperson for the anti-fur movement. My children would be given backstage passes to the next U2 concert. My husband would have to sit back and watch all the 200,000 male poets in the world lust after me. I would not sleep with any of them. I would think about sleeping with some of them. I would organize one large orgy for all poets and their willing spouses and significant others. I would pour champagne in my underwear. I would stop speaking to everyone I knew before I became king. I would speak to a therapist daily about power management issues. I would run away from myself whenever I saw me coming. Thank you.